treasure your separateness. Have, if I can say this appropriately, holy pride in your God. Treasure what you're a member of. Come out and be separate to me, says the Lord. Do you know what that cost him?
A good thought to begin today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with as we continue our look at Exodus chapter 12. It is our final installment in our series called The Ten Plagues. Message is entitled, Lest We Forget. And it is a look at God's call to remember what he has done in our lives, regard and fear it, and as we'll see today, pass it on to our kids. Won't you join us? With today's broadcast of Abounding Grace here in Exodus chapter 12, once again, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
I think if you had walked up to all those foreigners and said, do you believe in the God of Israel? Do you think any of them would have said no? They had just watched him pummel Egypt. They had just watched Yahweh display his power. They had just seen the God of Israel do wonders no other God could do. Everyone would have said, well, of course we believe in Yahweh. Pharaoh believed in Yahweh. Do you know what this would sound like today? Don't question my faith. I believe. I want to partake, but don't you dare stand back as the church and judge me. I don't have to be a member of any church. I am the church. Oh man, I hear that all the time. I've heard that more times than I ever care to in the course of my 12 years of pastoring. I am the church. Don't tell me that. And no commitment was ever made. I have no idea where that person stood. So the Lord said, Israel, I want you to tell them no. No. That is so crucial for us today. We need to understand this. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, think about that. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed and was celebrating the Passover, you remember that week as they were all preparing and celebrating. Remember the Lord in the midst of that instituted the supper and he gave the supper to the fulfillment in the new covenant community. This is the new covenant in my blood, blood of the Lamb. You know, he said the same thing. Take, eat, all of you, together. This is what we went through in Corinth. They were doing it all hodgepodge, together. Because if anyone tramples this underfoot, they can eat and drink judgment on themselves. Entrance into the family is not circumcision. Entrance into the family is what? Baptism. We don't need a bloody sign. We need a water sign. You know, the church today has all these same people. We have mixed marriages. We have travelers who come by all the time. We have temporary resident aliens, if you will. We have passers-by. We have a bunch of people in and out of church, in and out, in and out. I mean, we are like In-N-Out Burger here. In and out. Almost all that come in here say they believe in God. I've rarely had anyone come in here or in my previous charge and say, I don't believe. Here's the problem. It's epidemic. We live in a day where the people of our day are absolutely unwilling to make any commitment to Jesus at all. None. Besides whatever they want to do. Jesus had all sorts of attendees following him. Do you remember that? All these people constantly following him all the time and never making the commitment. And there were constant conflicts with Jesus getting in their face about this and saying, listen, you really want to follow me? Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Are you sure? You sure you want to really count that cost? Do you know what it might require? He called people to make the decision, get on the horse or get off. Don't sit in the middle. He gave his community the supper, remember? He gave his community the supper to celebrate the special work of redemption on the cross for you. This is what he did. And the question is no different for us. Well, what then do we do with all of these residents, in residence? What do we do with all these temporary passers-by? Feels so unloving, doesn't it? You say no. You say no. Oh, you said that's got to be, Pastor, a way to kill a church. That's got to be the most unloving thing you could possibly do to people. Really? The alternative is to do what most churches have done in our day and just open all this up to everyone, this table, to anyone who so feels moved. Does that give meaning anymore to what you're doing? We seem embarrassed today about our identity. We seem embarrassed today about our distinctiveness. We seem so embarrassed. We're all backwards on this, by the way. Do you know what we've lost today in the church? Any fear or consideration of what it means to be members of the body of Christ. Why is that? Why is there no fear to join this anymore? Our problem is we don't want to say no to anyone. Notice what the Lord created by all these people standing there and saying no. They might come up, verse 48, and say, why not? There's a witness tool here, isn't there? They might come up, verse 48, and say, why can't we partake? We want to partake. Or they might get mad enough and make a choice about their relationship to God, and they may either leave or they might join. And when they ask, you can then call them to a new life. What a great evangelistic opportunity. When all that's lost, your distinction's lost. Why does membership matter nothing to people today in the church? All it is asking you to make a commitment to Jesus. Why does it matter nothing? Because you've lowered the bar so low today, nobody understands its importance anymore. You can come and go in whatever's convenient for you. It's kind of like living in the day where every kid gets a participation trophy. Did you know that? Biggest business right now is participation trophies. It is booming. I didn't have that when I was a kid. I was a loser in many things. I needed that. You've got to have losers to have winners, don't you? There's no standard anymore in the church. So there's no importance to join it. Why do I need to? So people can partake of the church without any regard anymore to sin or discipline in their lives. We treated the church just like any other human organization, like the gym. We've got to recover a fear of being a part of this. A right fear. Do you know in the early church, two people sinned right out of the gates? Their names were Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know what the Holy Spirit did to set it off? He exercised discipline. He knocked them down. Now that doesn't seem to make any sense. Do you know what it said right after that? It said, as soon as the Holy Spirit exercised the key of the kingdom himself to set the pattern for the church, it said this, great fear came upon everyone and no one dared to join them. How's that for an evangelistic tool? That was the Holy Spirit's evangelistic tool. Daniel Baker, I remember reading an independent, at the Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah years ago, when he took that call, his preaching was so plain and so pointed that he started, when he first got there, getting a lot of complaints. People were nervous about him. An elder came up to him and said, Mr. Baker, you continue to preach this way, none of our young people are going to join the church. It's the biggest fear for everyone. None of our young people are going to join the church. I'm going to make a profession. To which I said Baker, I don't wish them to join unless they're converted. You ever told your young people that? How special it is to be a part of this. God purchased you with the blood of his son. When we're embarrassed about our identity and make no stance about it and our separateness is lost, you've dumped your witness. And everything's common. And people have no idea why they even need to come to the church, and that's why it's emptying out today. Why did this matter so much to the Lord? Well, he says, if you look there, it shall be eaten, the Passover, in one house. This is all together. You shall not take any flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. Every scholar in the world is puzzled. They have no idea what that would have meant in that context. Here's what I'll tell you it meant. It was pointing to Christ. Because when he was crucified on the cross, you remember how much care was taken that they would not break his bones to fulfill this. They were called to discern the body. If you understand the purpose in this, you know it's the greatest privilege and blessing that you belong to the household of God, that you're communing with Christ, that you're fed with his body and blood, and that's the greatest privilege he could ever give you. If someone doesn't like a standard today or thinks it's too strict, I suppose they could run down wherever they want and they could get everything less and light and no accountability. It's to the detriment and hurt of their own soul. Treasure your separateness. Have, if I can say this appropriately, holy pride in your God. Treasure what you're a member of. Come out and be separate to me, says the Lord. Do you know what that cost him? That's my first point. I only have one more. Pass it to your children. Woven into the Passover feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, verse 3. And Moses said to the people, look there at verse 3 of chapter 13. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today in the month of Abib, you're going out. This is great. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to Abraham, remember? A land flowing with milk and honey. You shall keep this service in this month. I want you always to remember your brand new beginning. You take out all your leaven out of your house, and you remember your whole lives are unleavened since I have freed you from bondage, ultimately to your sin. This is your new beginning. Keep the feast of unleavened bread in sincerity and truth, says the New Testament. Understand, you're brand new. And that God swore an oath to Abraham years ago when he passed through those pieces, and he did not renege on that. He kept that. He fulfilled that. And he's bringing you guys home. So consider yourselves. Here's what you can do. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to me now. Leave the past behind, you guys. What are you doing tampering with that stuff? You're done. And then in verse 8, he had something so beautiful. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, then you shall set apart to the Lord all that opened the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. See what he just did? He had just struck down before their eyes the firstborn of the Egyptians and their animals. God just said, when you enter, you give me your firstborn and the animals. Why? Your firstborn. Your firstborn. You say, uh-oh. What are you going to do to them? You're going to offer them up. Oh, but hold on. You can redeem the unclean donkeys and your sons. You say, what in the world? Every firstborn donkey, verse 13, you can redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. And the firstborn of man among your sons, you shall redeem. Unclean. Your sons can be redeemed. What did he want them to do? He wanted them to understand, your sons are redeemed. I want you to understand my gospel. I bought you back. Here's a way you can always teach it. Buy them back in front of them. Buy them back in front of them. Why was God putting all this in place? Verse 8. And you shall tell your son on that day, it's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Verse 14. And when time to come, your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go. The Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both firstborn of man and firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that opened the firstborn, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeemed. There it is. It shall be as a mark on your hand and frontless between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us up out of Egypt. Circle verse 8 and verse 14. Why does the Lord putting all this in place? Fathers and mothers, look next to you. Look right next to you. There are a little generation sitting here who never saw it. How are they going to know? They didn't get to walk out, the future generations. How are they going to know? They say the church is one generation from extinction. You see what the Lord's saying? Every year, I want you to celebrate the Passover, and on the last day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, when the firstborn was redeemed, the fathers were to sit down, and they were to explain to their children what all of this meant. Look at the Lord here. I want you fathers to talk to your kids. It's not a cold thing. Notice the Lord here. Tell your sons what the Lord did for you. Son, we're celebrating this because it's what the Lord did for me. Here's the personal aspect to this. What the Lord did for me when I came out, it's warm, it's affectionate, sincere, it's personal. It's not just that. It radiates from a deep expression of a believing heart that knows and understands what Christ did for him. It assumes the father knows the Lord, loves the Lord, talks about the Lord in the home. There's so much to learn here about parenting. The Lord is so concerned about parenting. I think we think today we're just good parents if we get to all the ball games and all the school events. That may be part of it, but that is not it. Fathers, express to your children your own salvation. Parents, we're always to be talking about it. I've been delivered. Daughter, I believe these promises. The Lord has been so good to us, children. You know, I can tell you what I was like in Egypt. I can tell you what I did in my idolatrous ways. And my whole life now is unleavened because of him. He pulled me out of there. He pulled me out of that dungeon. He pulled me out of that pit that I chose. And he gave me life. And let me tell you about it. This was for me, son. Intending it to be for you. So the next generation was to speak of the whole Exodus event as if they were the ones that came out themselves. You see that? In other words, they were to speak as if they were the ones that came out so that every generation met a generation that had come out. You've come out, you've come out, you've come out. So tell your children that. Do you know when you take the supper, fathers, God wants you to sit down and explain to your children what it means? God wants you to tell your children the gospel. God wired your children to ask you questions. Dad, why are you paying for me? Well, in the law of the firstborn son, all the Egyptians face God's judgment because of their hardness of heart, and we deserve that. But you know, in his grace, we get to buy you back, and you don't have to face that because of his incredible love. You belong to him, children. They need the gospel too. I always give them a lot of law. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Parents, you first have to believe this to tell your children. You have to fully identify with it. You have a little window of time, and they're gone. I would suggest that the reason the generation before us has struggled to identify with their faith, has no concept of church, has no understanding of the supper, is because their parents didn't talk about it. You went home from the Lord's Supper and you never opened your lips about your faith, maybe even complaining about the church and whatever. You're never too old to stop talking about the gospel. It starts in the home. The Christian school is not the savior of our kids. It has to come from the heart of the parents. And we should be sitting down and explaining to our children these things to soften their hearts, so that they would believe that Jesus loves them and has done this for them. I want you to tell them about Good Friday. I want you to tell them about the resurrection when we celebrate it. I want you to tell them what Jesus did when he died to set them free, that they are now bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, so that they should honor God in their bodies. Whenever Israel apostatized, guess what went out the door? I don't have time to quote all these verses, the Passover. They stopped celebrating it. In Josiah's day, they had to recover it because it wasn't even being celebrated. Whenever apostasy happened, they opened it up and did whatever they wanted to do. It'll be a sign to you on your hand as a memorial between your eyes that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. God is your greatest evangelist. He loves your children. God wants them never to forget. All of this is in place for you today. You see how the stories connect? All of this is in place for you today. If you're a visitor this morning, maybe you're somebody who's passing through, and you've never made the commitment to be a part of the church, or even if you're a member who scorns it, I hope you're pressed one way or the other. I don't want anyone sitting in the gray area. I hope you're pressed to come and say, I want to be a part of that. Look at what the Lord has done. I hope you're determined enough after hearing this to make a decision to follow hard after Christ, to believe his gospel, to repent of your sin, to have accountability in your life, to unite yourself to his body and receive from his gracious hand next week the wonderful benefits. With a repentant and broken and contrite heart, he wants you to come with that kind of heart. It will show in your commitment to join his body. He gave his sacraments to help strengthen believers in their very hard wilderness life to know that they've entered into his family and will be kept by his grace. You're separate. Today, the Lord wants you always to remember he bought you with a price to be his own special treasure. May we never forget how wonderful he has been to deliver us and our children from bondage and death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, and we are so grateful that you have put things in place so that we would never forget. But we confess we've not used them with the kind of believing, respectful hearts that we should, or in godly fear at times, not appreciating what you made us a part of, wanting to be islands to ourselves, neglecting the assembly, having a terrible attitude to the very body of Christ. Forgive us. And we know that a high view of these things is the first step in recovering our children and teaching our children and training our children. And so may it first get into our hearts. May we all believe this, treasure this, love your truth, love what you've done. And may we speak to our children the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us in the gospel. We're great sinners, we're great failures. Be merciful to us because there are fathers and mothers here who greatly struggle with guilt and greatly struggle with feelings of failure and greatly struggle like they've messed things up. And we're so thankful that you have the power always to work in those kind of situations, to intervene and work in hearts of hard children's hearts to change them. But we're never too old to talk about you. We're never too old to show what your grace does to change our own lives. May that be evidence, Lord. Thank you for hearing us this morning, and thank you for this special time to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. And with that, we conclude our series called The Ten Plagues. You are listening to Pastor Chris Gordon with Abounding Grace. Our time together today in Exodus, focusing in on the Ten Plagues. If you'd like to review any of today's message or the entire series, we would invite you to reach out to us at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. You're also welcome to write to us at Abounding Grace, Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. As we close out our time today here on Abounding Grace, I'd like to remind you that this is a listener-supported ministry. As you come alongside and partner with us financially, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station and on the World Wide Web. Now, as a way of saying thank you for your support financially, for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send you a thumb drive that contains all of the messages from a recently delivered series called How to Pray. If you've ever struggled in your prayer life, if you've ever longed for a deeper prayer life, this series is right up your alley. Again, recently delivered by Pastor Chris, dives into the how of prayer, who we pray to, and encouragement along the way to continue and press into a deeper prayer life. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send you this thumb drive that contains all of the MP3 sermons as taught by Pastor Chris. You're welcome to reach out to us again on our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. And then come back and join us tomorrow. We continue our survey of Exodus here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Until then, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.